Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, to remake the world. What a line for us to follow. Remake the world, remake the world. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're remaking the world. We're remaking ourselves. We are remaking the world of our families. We're remaking the world of our community and thus having an impact on the rest of the world. That's how you do it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Jeffrey McGillicuddy, also known as William Kareem. And I'd just like to give you the greetings of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and say alhamdulillah rabbil alameen to the creator of the heavens and the earth who has allowed us to exist another day. Just coming out of the month of Ramadan and, performing the Eid al-Fitr celebration for the fast is a wonderful time that's celebrated by the Muslims from all over the country, all over the world. It's very interesting because take into consideration that we are here in the United States as Muslims following the rituals of Ramadan. Whereas the sun comes up at a certain time and we make prayers at that time, If, say, we just start with Fajr, so Fajr comes in, say, right now it comes in at, you know, something like 4:58 or something like that. And that's an Eastern Standard Time. But then you move to Central Time and it comes in an hour earlier, or is it an hour? No, it's an hour later. And then you go to West Coast Time and it comes in 3 hours later. And if you just continue to move, you know, toward the west, then, you know, it comes in 4 hours later, 5 hours later, 6 hours later, you know, until you get, you know, around the world as far as time frame is concerned. So really, you know, Muslims we have a religion that allows us to, where somebody is praying, you know, all day. Somebody in the parts of the world is following the Muslim prayer. Somebody's following the Fajr prayer. Somebody's praying the Dhuhr prayer, you know, that comes in at, you know, 12:50 something on the East Coast, then an hour later in Central Time, and then 3 hours later on West Coast Time. So somebody's doing the prayer, and then, you know, we're just talking about in America. But then we keep on going further and further, we see how the time frame has an effect on the way that the Muslim has established prayer. It doesn't work like that in other religions. And it's not to say that I'm not saying that one is better than the other, even though I could say that. I could say that the way that Islam, the way of life of Islam, you know, allows for the people of earth to constantly be praying all the time. Somebody around the world, somebody is making the Fajr prayer. You know, and then somebody is making the Dhuhr prayer. Somebody is making the Asana prayer. And it just follows a pattern that where human beings are giving praise and glorification to the creator of the heavens and earth. That's the religion of Islam, the religion of Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And that's like all praise is due to Allah for that, that we are part of a religion that is that does that. And, you know, once we understand that in our life, then we can see the greatness of our deen, but also of the praise and glorification of our Lord. And speaking of the whole problem that happens with the Eid al-Fitr situation that happened in Philadelphia, and, you know, we bring that up because it winds up being a modern-day miracle, you know, where 30 shots are fired by people who weren't Muslims, but, you know, young people, whatever. And, you know, that was a situation that Allah allowed to happen. And it's not to say that nobody got hurt, but there were no fatalities. And there was a cooperation between the Muslim community of Philadelphia. The police were there, you know, this relationship that happens with the community, the Muslim community, and they had a relationship. There's a relationship with the police who, you know, brings out a squad car or two just to make sure that, you know, everything is good and there's no disturbances. But unfortunately, at this time, there was a disturbance. And with that disturbance was gunfire. And it's a good possibility that that there could have been a lot of fatalities, but there were none. It's not to say that no one got hurt. You know, there was a couple of people who got shot, but they weren't fatal. They were able to go to the hospital and recover. It's not something that, you know, that that it's like, oh, we had a shooting. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying that it was a modern day miracle. That's what I'm saying. That it was something that Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, allowed to exist. He allowed that to come into being at a time when there were Muslims who, there was over 1,000 people in that park that was across the street from the masjid, and that there was over 1,000 people there. And here it is, you fasted during the month of Ramadan, you're thinking about having a good time, you know, with your family, and then boom, this situation happens where there's a shooting. And come to find out, it was like 4 young people were there, and one adult. They caught one adult. So all together they caught 4 or 5 people. We played that on the Saturday. We played that on the Cultural Insights that the, you know, American Muslim 360 and the New Day Community Radio does, where the imam and, you know, the imams of Philadelphia held a news conference and gave all the praise and glorification to the creator of the heavens and the earth that nothing happened. You know, there was no fatalities, even though there were 30 shots fired. And even though, you know, one of the persons was a 15-year-old who got shot in his arm and got shot in his leg, the police responded, you know, by putting him in the squad car and taking him to the hospital so that, you know, he wouldn't have fatal injuries either. So, you know, it's just a sign from the creator that Allah had his protection over that affair. And that is, alhamdulillah, you know what I mean? That is a witnessing. Oh, you know, we're very thankful that that didn't happen in other parts of the country where there were Eid festivals actually going on, you know. So we're very thankful for that. So, you know, the Eid festival actually, it falls on the first day of Shawwal. And Shawwal is actually the month that follows Ramadan, because Ramadan is a month. It's important to understand that Ramadan is not a topic. It's not what the fast is called. It's what the month that the fast is done is called. We fast in the month of Ramadan. So it's important to understand that. And I'm sure a lot of us do, but it's kind of important, you know, to reiterate it and to make sure that people understand that Ramadan is a month in the Muslim calendar. And in the month of the Muslim calendar, the Muslim fast. We fast. Okay? So when the Eid al-Fitr comes, okay, we do the Eid. The Eid starts the first day of the new month. And the new month that we are in right now is the month of Shawwal. Yes, the month of Shawwal. It's the 10th month of the Muslim calendar. So Ramadan is the 9th month of the Muslim calendar. And Shawwal is the 10th month, and right now we are in the 10th month of the Muslim calendar. There are things that happen in the month of Shawwal, and what happens and important in the event that happens in the month of Shawwal is the Hajj. The Hajj happens in the month of Shawwal. Okay? Now, there is something else that happens and that is it is said that, you know, some Muslims observe 6 days of optional fasting during Shawwal, the month of Shawwal, beginning the day after the Eid, since fasting is prohibited on that day, because you can't fast, you know, during the Eid. And on those 6 days of fasting together with the Ramadan fast, they say that it said is equivalent to fasting all year round. Okay? So there are a lot of people that are inspired to fast the 6 days after the Eid al-Fitr because it is supposed to be a blessing that happens. Like, oh, it's like you fasted all year round. So there are people that want to achieve that. And so in achieving that, what they do is they fast 6 days. And you know, the fasting of 6 days during the month of Shawwal is not obligatory, but it's voluntary. And, you know, it's again, you know, being appreciative for being able to fast during the month of Ramadan, you know, and getting out of that. And then, you know, and this is what our Prophet, peace be upon him, you know, told us that that fasting the 6 days after Ramadan, what that was all about. Okay. Okay, so that's important information for us. Just like to share with you that because this here is the Upload Life, I want you to know that there is a lot that's actually going on in Upload Life, and, you know, we have become part of living in the Upload Life. If you have a phone, if you're texting, if you're on the phone with us right now, you're participating in the Upload Life. And the Upload Life has to do with being part of the technology that happens today. And what I want to do is, no, that's not it. What I wanted to do was, oh, okay, I know what I have to do. Yeah, but listen, if you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make, especially as far as Ramadan, the way that you actually spent the Eid, something about the Philadelphia month of Shawwal, you know, you want to say something about that. You know, this here is a community conversation, and you're welcome to press one on your phone, and we'll bring you into the queue so that you can, you know, do that. Okay? But before we do that, there's a 401. I see you, and I'm going to open up your phone right now because I have an intro to playing. To intro to living in the Upload Life. So, 401-323, assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. I had a great Ramadan, alhamdulillah. I didn't go out to the masjid once. I just went. I didn't go out many times. I just went for one iftar and maghrib prayer, but alhamdulillah, I made Taweeh prayer and my Isha prayer at home. I did Taweeh prayer with various ones. I did with some of Masjid Allah's Taweeh prayers. I did some with Imam Abdul Aziz from the Islamic Center in the Bronx. I did some Taweeh prayers with Khalif Ramadan. Khalif Ramadan had on his lectures number 523, you could hear a Taweeh prayer that I think it was from Saudi Arabia. An elderly brother did it, and you could listen to that continuously if you go to Khalif Ramadan's lectures number 23, which is after their, number 522. Which is right before his Idul Fitr cookbar. And I also listened to the youngest Hafiz, Imam Omar, Tennessee Islamic Center. I listened to their Taweeh prayer and some other Taweeh prayers I did, Masjid Allah, Philadelphia. And Allah blessed me with a lot of insight to a lot of different things during Ramadan. I was able to take some of the writings that my son Kareem Canston did in his book, Walk Through the Doors That God Has Opened for You. And with the, my readings in the Quran, every time I read something in the Quran, I would go to his book, and for that day, whatever day it was of the week or whatever, it would match up to what I was reading in the Quran. So I said, Alhamdulillah. You know, even though our children might leave Islam and go back to Christianity, a lot of them didn't fall too far from the tree. And he's always saying to me, oh, mommy, oh, you know, Islam is the fastest growing religion. And what? Alhamdulillah, Allah, there's truth in everything. Allah started everything on truth, and there's congruency in so many things. And Allah has let me see during Ramadan the congruency that his truth is one. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to all humanity. He didn't just come to the Jews or whatever, like the Christians believe, the Israel is the chosen people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to all humanity, and he brought together, he summarized it. He was the seal of the prophet that brought all the truths from all the prophets together and sealed it together and summarized it and showed us that Allah is Ahad, Wahid. He is one universal truth. And when you know truth, when you see truth, it just comes together. And Allah let me touch bases with some Muslim sisters, friends of mine, and everything that they were saying and everything I was saying, it was all matching up. So I said, oh, this is mathematics, you know, when things are equal to each other. So a lot of things in Ramadan, he was showing me the truth in it, you know. And so many things, he was just bringing out so many truths in the readings that I was doing, and I did some writing. I want to put some of it in Muslim Journal. I didn't get a chance to put it in there. But I did some writing during Ramadan, and I made some songs too, so alhamdulillah. But the last thing I want to say about that shooting in Philadelphia, I've gone to that masjid many times when I used to live in Philadelphia with my sister on 63rd Street. And I also had an aunt that lived on West Gerard Avenue, 4207 West Gerard Avenue, and I had some other relatives there too. But the whole thing is that we threw the baby out with the bathwater as far as security is concerned. Because when I went to the masjid during Ramadan here in Rhode Island, Masjid Al-Kareem Islamic Center of Rhode Island, the sisters' doors was wide open. No security outside, nobody watching inside. Anybody could have walked up in there. No security on the brother's side. I think that's not good at all. My brother was shot here on a Juma day, right in front of the masjid. We better step up our security, all the masjids, because in the Nation of Islam, I'm going to tell you, there would be brothers outside the masjid, down the block, around the block, across the street, inside the masjid. We have to secure each other better than this. And I think that we need to have metal detectors going into the masjid, and any event that we have outside, we need to have metal detectors. I know it takes a long time for the brothers and sisters to go through that inside and definitely outside. But if we're going to safeguard ourselves, we better do something. Because they have, even in Canada, brothers dressed up like sisters under burqa, and you only could see their eyes through lace or whatever. They couldn't tell it was a man or sister. Come in there with bombs underneath and blew the whole masjid up. In the Nation of Islam, they still search. When you go in there, the sisters, you have to dump everything out of your bag. They search on your legs, on your arms, everywhere, sisters and brothers. Listen, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we better safeguard ourselves. We can't keep saying that this is not going to happen here in America, or this is not going to happen in our nation. You don't know what's going to happen. We have to safeguard ourselves. And for me to go to the nation, the door is wide, wide open. Not even cracked or just closed it open. Wide open. Anybody could have walked up in there and heard our sisters and brothers. May Allah protect us and guide us. As-salamu alaykum.
Sister Angela, I got a question I wanted to ask you, that you, something that you could explain to the people, because, you know, it was something that you did. You said that there was a prayer that you did. Which was the prayer that you did during the month of Ramadan?
Taweeah.
Yeah, the Taweeah prayer. Can you explain, what time of night did that happen? Is that a night prayer? Is that what that is?
Yeah, Taweeah, you don't ever do Taweeah prayer. Taweeah prayer is after the Isha prayer.
Okay.
There's a Hafiz, where a Hafiz recites Quran, and they do intervals of certain of rest during the Ramadan, and you know, it's like some of them do eight full rest. You never did Taweeah prayer?
Well, sisters, I've done Taweeah prayer, but you know, we're talking, you know, people that are on the phone people that are on our line with us may not know what it is.
Taweeah prayer comes after Isha prayer during Ramadan, and a Hafiz is a brother that knows the Quran fully or mostly all of it, and recites ayats from the Quran and does certain rakats. Sometimes the full, they do like maybe 8, 12, maybe 20, depending on how many rakats the brother wants to do in prayer. But the Taweeah prayer is usually done by a brother who knows the complete Quran in Arabic, and inshallah,
right,
not just memorize it, but knows it, understands it, and can teach it.
Right.
Also are brothers who might be behind him. If he makes a mistake in his recitation, in the that they can like fill in or help him along. There are young Hafizes, even 12, 17, 20 years old, that have memorized the full Quran, alhamdulillah. And the amazing thing about Taweeah prayer is that even though you don't know the Arabic, you can feel the vibrations of the brother who's reciting the Arabic. And when you go home, the ayats that he has recited, you can go over it at home and read it and try to understand it better, because you nine times out of ten, we don't know all the Arabic, not unless you're an Arabic-speaking person. But if you can get the ayats that he's reciting, afterwards, you can go home and you can read it and you can go over it. But that collective prayer, Taweeah prayer, is the last prayer of the night during Ramadan that we do collectively together as a group in the
Very
masjid.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you, sis.
And even if you don't know the Arabic, it's the closeness. It's like on a piano.
It sounded like you had a wonderful Ramadan, and you know, the Taweeah prayer was very special to you, that it touched your heart, and that was a wonderful thing.
It was
that
like
shared that to us. Yeah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And like Taweeah prayer is like, it's almost like the finishing touch of the day that brings all the music together, that brings all the fasting together, that brings all the prayers together, that brings all the goodness together. And in Tawheed prayer, it's like a culmination. And it like makes some kind of beautiful vibration in music that touches your heart. And you can feel it. I mean, actually, in Tawheed prayer, I get like some kind of vibration. I don't know. It's like some kind of vibrating thing that happens, and it just fills me up, you know? And I can just almost
Here's something else that I wanted to ask you about, that you mentioned, that I think was very important that you mentioned, and that had to do with, you know, the security situation, the doors for where the sisters are, that being wide open. We always say, well, Allah is the protector. However, you know, Allah tells us also to tie our camel and tells us to do that. And we've had a couple of situations. We've had situations that show us that we need to have security sentinels at our masjids and at our affairs, that winds up being important.
When I went down to Washington,
D.C., I was at Washington, D.C., the nation's mosque. You have to go through a metal detector
to get in.
They set up the metal detector. So, you know, so we're getting on top of it. Yeah, what was you saying, sir?
It's very important because a brother, Mustafa, was shot right in front of our master, I think it was last month or the month before, right in front of the master. He was setting up his merchandise to sell before, I think, the cook-off started. And he's in a wheelchair. And someone shot him. Now, that brother should have been out there on security in front of that masjid right before Juma started. Nobody was out there. And that brother
got
shot.
Well, that's a problem that, you know, we're going to... Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem that we're going to have to address. Yeah, that's a problem that we have to address. Yeah, it's showing that there's a problem, and inshallah, you know, what we'll do is that's a problem that will be handled in the future. Thank you so much, Sister Angela.
Okay, shukran, Dr. Lakar, Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. I just want you to know that your son reached out about, you know, where was the Juma going to be held for Masjid Nuruddin. He reached out. I can't find the text message or, you know, way he comes. But he did, what's his name? Is his name, what is it?
Akbar.
He reached out. He reached out to find out where the Juma was going to be in Queens. And I was able to send him that information, and he did. Yeah. What was you going
to
say? Yeah.
He used to live in Queens on Elmhurst Avenue, and he used to attend Masjid Nuruddin. I used to attend Masjid Nuruddin also. Well, just before Imam Waridin Muhammad came into office, I used to attend that masjid in the Nation of Islam. And at the beginning, when Imam Waridin Muhammad became a Muslim, I used to attend that masjid too. When I used to live in Queens.
Walaikum assalam. And just to let you know, there was a Masjid Nuruddin gave a fundraiser securing our legacy for the future that took place on April 6th.
At the Rochdale Community Center.
Yes, and it was very well attended.
I used to live across the street from there, too. Yeah.
Oh, there you go, man. There you go. So
I wish I had been able to make it.
Thank you, sis.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, and thank you again for calling in and sharing. We appreciate that. My sister, Martha Nyland Williams, you know, sent the correction to me, you know, about the dual Hajj, that Hajj is the 12th month. The 12th month is Hajj, the Eid al-Adha reference, Prophet Abraham or Ibrahim. I got the information that I got was that Shawwal is the first 3 months, the first of 3 months before the month of Dhul-Hijjah, which some of the acts of Hajj can begin to be performed, such as the Tawaf of arrival. The period of Hajj also begins in Shawwal, which is otherwise called Ashhur al-Hajj, or the month of Hajj. So that's where I got it from, living in the upload life. But that there is, that is a correction. And I thank you, Sister Martha, for that. So there is a period to begin. Some of the acts of Hajj can begin to be performed, such as the Tawaf of arrival. So this here is a ritual. The Tawaf of arrival is probably a Tawaf of arrival for Hajj. This is done by the pilgrim who has entered Ihram for the Hajj, and by the pilgrim who is doing Qiran, joining Umrah and Hajj when he reaches the Kaaba. It is one of the obligatory duties of Sunnahs or Sunnahs of Hajj. There is a difference. There is a difference of scholarly opinion. So it's important to understand that that as Muslims in America, that we are following the the rituals and the ideas of an Arab religion, okay, that our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was part of, and that was established during his time. And many times what happens is there are rituals and that have taken place, you know, during the religion that we are striving here in America to incorporate. And some of them, you know, we don't have to incorporate. It's like we don't have to incorporate the 6 days of fasting after Eid al-Fitr, of fasting during Lent. It's not an obligation. It is something that is, that people do, that Muslims do, seeking more blessings. It's not obligatory to pray the Tarawih prayer during the month of Ramadan, but if you do it, there are blessings, you know, extra blessings that you can get. You know, the thing is that you do the five prayers, but if you want some extra blessings, then you know you pray, you know, during the night with the imams in the masjid, you know, so that, you know, like you get those extra blessings. But these are rituals that have been established, you know, 1400, you know, during in the 1400 years, you know, since our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came about, and we are striving to incorporate those into our lives. That's what winds up happening. So I mentioned the whole idea about the month of Shawwal, just so that, you know, it's understood that Ramadan is a month. It's, you know, it's the month. Ramadan is not a fast. Ramadan is a month, okay? And we fast during the month of Ramadan. And after the month of Ramadan comes the month of Shawwal. So this winds up being the 10th month, you know, that's the month that we're in. And so I was under the impression, according to the way that I got my information from off of the internet. You know, that the period of Hajj also begins in Shawwal. Okay, that's what it said, which led me to believe that Shawwal was actually in, that Hajj was in the month of Shawwal. But come to understand that Hajj is the 12th month. That's when it's actually performed. So we're getting these technicalities together, and that's why, you know, we have, you know, a community radio where we can talk about these things, and it's okay. It's okay to make a mistake, because if you make a mistake, then there's somebody in the audience that say, well, you know, listen, that's what the case is. The case is that it's not in the ninth month, but it's in the 12th month, or with other things as far as, you know, the Tawbiyah prayer and understanding what, you know, Ramadan is, that Ramadan isn't the name of the fast, but the name of the month that the fast is done in. So, you know, all of these technicalities are things that we are getting together as a community of people. And there's going to be some people who agree with us. There's going to be some people. Listen, there are people that perform Ramadan in the month of December, December only, and will argue with you back and forth about Ramadan is supposed to be done December because that's when it was established in the Nation of Islam. And there are people in the Nation of Islam that still perform Ramadan in the month of December because that's what the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad did during that time. And they still follow that. And that's not, and I'm not putting that on the whole Nation of Islam because that's not true. That's not true. But there are individuals that I have seen online, okay, on Facebook, in the upload live, Ramadan is not supposed to be, it's done in December. It's not done, you know, in these other months with these Arabs. Hey, you know, hey, that's what they say. And there are people that follow that. So, hey, you know, if that works for you, fine. It would just seem to be better if you fasted with all of the Muslims, not just with, you know, the people in the Nation of Islam and with your particular group. I don't care what nobody say. That's what Elijah Muhammad told me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. May Allah bless you to grow and develop and become part of the oneness, the one Ummah. All right, so I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to mention that. I was going to play something about living in the upload life, but what I would really like to talk about is a film that is out now, and if you have an opportunity to see it, I would encourage you to watch this film. And it's called The Book of Clowns. The Book of Clarence. And The Book of Clarence is about a person who wanted to become the 13th apostle, because, you know, there was 12 apostles. And so he came up with an idea because, you know, like, you know, he needed to run a scheme. And, you know, his whole thing was that, you know, I know what I'll do, you know, because this was during a time when, Jesus was popular. And, you know, John was baptizing people, and people was just lined up to get baptized. And it was like, the person that he owed money to was a believer in Christ and had been baptized. And so, you know, he said, well, you know, what I'll do is I'll change my ways. I'll become the 13th apostle. I'll go ahead and get baptized by John. And you know, they have, a person playing, you know, John. And there's a little humor in it. It's a little humor in it because when he goes to, you know, this Clarence, when Clarence goes to get baptized, you know, John is like, come on, man, you know, why are you coming to get baptized? You're not a believer. You don't believe. And he said, well, why, you know, Clarence was like, you know, why can't I get baptized? I mean, you know, everybody else is getting baptized. You know, what's to stop me from getting baptized? And so John is like, yo, because we know who you are. You got some scheme going on that you want. He says, but still, you know, if I want to get baptized, you got to baptize me. So he wasn't getting baptized. And then, you know, like the word gets out that he went and got baptized. And, you know, like, you know, he said, well, do you believe in Christ? And he didn't really believe him, but that's what he had to say. He said, yeah, I believe in, yeah, I believe in Christ. And so he gets dunked in the water and all the rest of that there. But he's running a game. He's running a game to become the 13th apostle, you know, and he even goes to the disciples, and Jesus isn't around at the time. He goes to the disciples and tells them, yeah, listen, you know, like you said, the disciples ask him, so what are you doing here? He said, yeah, I want to become the 13th apostle. And they laugh at him. Ah. And they all bust out laughing. You want to be apostle? Ah. Come on, man, you know. And so they can't agree, and they start arguing about it. And then someone says, okay, what you got to do, you got to free a slave. You got to go ahead and free a slave. And he winds up freeing a slave. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you the whole thing, but it's a very good movie. There was another part, and it's very similar to some of the text that we read, especially as far as Mary was concerned, and Mary and the virgin birth. He goes to Mary and says, "Listen, I want you to tell me, about. I want to meet, you know, Jesus, so I can find out about, you know, how he does the tricks that he does." So Mary said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You know, I'm one. How does he just do the tricks that he does?" She says, "It's not tricks." He said, "Yeah, right. It's got to be tricks." And so, you know, but this is his attitude, you know, because what he wants to do, he wants to start. He goes out, he starts fooling people. That, you know, he's, you know, healing the blind and making, you know, the man walk, you know, that we couldn't walk, and people are giving him money. This is a way for him to make money. But it all turns out, and then it all turns out where he does get a religious awakening at the end. But what is interesting about it is, you know, in Islam, they say that, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, and there is an idea out there that says that it was made to seem that he died, but his body was, the body of Jesus was replaced with somebody else. And so in this movie, they're making it that Clarence was the body that was replaced by Jesus, you know, and, you know, so it's a spiritually interesting movie to watch, and I think that you would enjoy it. So that's why I'm mentioning the Book of Clarence. If anybody saw the Book of Clarence, I know it's on Amazon Prime. I think I rented it for like $6. And it was a good $6. I watched it twice, actually, because I had to, you know, just, you know, see all of the nuances. There was nuances that was actually in it that I found that was, you know, pretty interesting. Lakeith Stanfield, he's the one that plays Clarence. And Lakeith Stanfield is also the one he played in a number of movies. Yeah, he played in a number of movies. He played in Atlanta, Sorry to Bother You, Judas and the Black Priest, and the Black Messiah. He played in Get Out, and he also played in The Harder They Fall. He played in Knives Out. So, you know, he's been around a little bit. But I thought that he did a really good job on this. I thought his acting was really good. on this, the Book of Clarence. Because, you know, there's a hardness to him, but then there's a compassionate side to him, too. You know, they even have the whole thing about, you know, 12, the Last Supper, you know, which is, you know, interesting the way that they do that. I'm mentioning it to you, and I'm recommending it to you because I really think that you would enjoy it. As a spiritual movie, I think that you would see the spirituality, but there's humor that's involved in it too. Anyway, moving forward, I'm going to play this.
What the technology winded up doing, especially I'm talking about the technology winded up separating the generations. That's what they did. So why is this important? It's just important that Muslims understand the way that the technology worked and the way that the technology advanced from what was going on in the pioneer generation to what's going on in the social media generation. We call it the social media generation because the advancements that happened in the social media generation winded up attracting the children.
Yeah, that has always been our concern about the attraction of the children. So that has always been our concern about, you know, the upload life. But there are many other things or negative things that are actually going on in the upload life. And you have to forgive me right now, but of course what I have to do is I have to play a PSA. And here we go.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
This is Isaiah Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal. Allah is the creator with no partners. Muslims have 99 popular attributes for Allah. What is Al-Islam? Al-Islam is the complete way of life that reflects submission to the will of God. Islam means submission, derived from the Arabic word meaning peace. Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is anyone who submits to the will of God. Everyone is born Muslim, and their environment makes them otherwise. How does one become a conscious Muslim? To become Muslim is to make a public declaration that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is called the Shahadatain. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad the Prophet was born in Mecca, the holiest city to Islam in Arabia, in the year 570 or in the 6th century. How many Muslims are there? Worldwide, there are just over 1 billion Muslims, or 1 out of every 5 people on earth is a Muslim. In the United States, there are approximately 8 million Muslims. 2.5 million are recognized as indigenous, with the remainder by the way of immigration. Aren't all Muslims Arabs? No. Most Muslims live east of Karachi.
Put a girl about 20 on top of old man. I need him with a baby by eight months old, man. Had to be no more than 8 months. Nobody claim that baby. Yeah, we call bodies on top bodies, the pot of bills, man. It's just how to feel, man. I love working out here. Ain't nobody come around here crying at no funeral. Don't nobody care. So why should I?
Someone gotta tell a story about a girl called Jane. Didn't know of the name. She had so much game. She used to give God the glory. Never once complained about the silly old man who could control his hand. And how she used to satisfy it. And how her mama would think that she was just lying. So she slipped away and said, this man's gonna pay. Turning every man into a victim. The girl knows how to trick him. Until a dreadful day in the galaxy light. A real life story, everything's alright. On the ghetto stage, just turn a page. A real life story, everything's alright. On the ghetto stage, just turn a page.
Said he was a young man, said he was a mark in the mouth. Was on his way to be something great. Every single pissed up till a stick of kid and number one. Stop and say,
hurry up. Yeah, that's a song by Abdul Wali Shaheed, A Real Life Story. And that's what we're living, a real life story here on American Muslim 360 and here in America. We know that there's a lot that's going on in the world today, especially with this idea of what's happening in Israel in the Middle East, you know, on those sacred lands. There are things that are going on. And unfortunately, you know, our country, America, has decided to participate, you know, to some degree in that situation. So the conflict is actually escalating. Because now Iran is getting involved as far as it's concerned, because, you know, Israel decided that it was going to, and I'm talking about Netanyahu, I'm not talking about, we have to talk about it, you know, like Israel, but it's really the administration of Netanyahu who has control of the military. You know, has decided that he's going to do all this bombing, not only of the Gaza Strip, but, you know, he's doing bombing now in other countries. So that winds up being a problem. And you know, America is not really, you know, doesn't really go along with it. But, you know, what they winded up doing, Iran winded up sending missiles that wouldn't do anything. Missiles and other drones, just to show that they could respond, they had to respond. It really didn't hurt because they were, you know, 95% of the missiles were intercepted by Israel, United States, and the other countries. They were intercepted, but you know, Iran had to show that, you know, well, you did this here, we're going to respond. And so they responded. It wasn't meant to, you know, really do any harm to Israel, but what it was meant to do was to show that, you know, we can respond. And so the United States was with that. You know, okay, yo, you go ahead and respond. We'll go ahead and knock the missiles out of, you know, the sky. You know, when you fire the missiles, you go ahead and fire the missiles and the drones, and we'll just knock them out the sky, and you'll be able to say that you did respond. Yeah, you know, Israel, you know, so now, you know, the ball is like, yo, what are you going to do now, Israel? What are you going to do now? Are you going to try to respond to that? You're the one that started the whole doggone thing by going over there in Iran and bombing people. So now here it is, you know, You did that. You was the aggressor in that situation, and now they responded, and your people didn't get hurt. But now, and here it is, you're going to take it like, I got to respond to that? The United States is like, yo, just let that go. Just leave that, okay? Leave that alone. That's what the United States is saying, but, you know, hey, the Netanyahu administration, they do what they want to do as far as, they got American planes, they got American arms, they got American arms. America is the one that armed them. So it's like, yeah, we're going to do what we want to do. Anyway, here's two. Before we go on, I'm going to go ahead and open 251-404. Assalamu alaikum, your microphone is open. You got something to say. Go ahead, 251.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Henry Hatib in Mobile, Alabama. And you hit on a few subjects there. Clarence was one of them. And as I have not seen the movie yet, and I do plan to see it there,
you'll enjoy it, I'm sure.
But as you was talking about it, I say, well, it's still just really the same old thing, because all he doing is just showing up in a humor way of what has happened to the world there, and it's been shown time and time, but we take it for granted. I take it for fun or humor because they give it to us. Even the stuff that, even the way Donald Trump addresses some things is so outrageous to us that we want to laugh at it. And as some people say, you better take it serious. If he says it, you better take it serious. And that's the thing they're talking about democracy right now. And that's the way I see them exposing the things, the schemes and scams that they have pulled over the whole world, not just in a little thing there, to make light of the miracles, as you would say, that Christ Jesus did, because the way they understood them, it could definitely be a scam. And I've seen a lot of preachers over my lifetime pull those same scams. I remember a guy named A.A. Allen. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that. But he used to go around the country healing people and making them walk on TV and all. And he'd come to towns and get a big tent. And boy, the people would flush out there and give him that money. And when it come time to make them walk, because he have a few actors on stage there, and he would perform those schemes and scams that has really been formed on the whole world there. And the other thing is when we support something, even in Islam, it says support your brother when he's in the right and support him when he's in the wrong. Well, that became a little puzzle. Say, well, how do you support your brother when he's in the wrong? And the prophet say, by holding him back from the wrong. Now that makes sense. But some people have not learned that part of it. They didn't get that part of the message. They want to support their brother, whether he's right or wrong, and they will support him knowing that he's wrong and never try to hold him back from the wrong, but support him in the wrong that he's doing. And we know people who do that, even individually, worldwide, they're headed to what we call the hellfire. So that's what we have to do.
Do you think that America is trying to hold the Netanyahu administration back now that they have crossed so many lines?
Well, I think America is begging. That's the way it appears to be. We try to look strong, but it's really we beg. And we saying you're doing it wrong, but I think it's wrong, but we support you. We're still going to support you. Well, if you're going to support me in the wrong, I'm doing that. Ain't going to hold me back from it. So So I think we really need to step up and just say, look, if we don't support you in the wrong, we will not support you in the wrong, and make that a clear statement to them. We'll support you when you're right. They'll put it, well, if you be aggressive toward them, well, we're not going to participate in it. That's a lie. If they do, Israel, no. Those Zionists know that they got America, as some say, they got America where they want America. So, and Netanyahu said they don't need America to tell them whether to go to war or not. And I think when we look at this whole scheme that has been pulled, since we're talking about Israel, with Israel, when you go look at how they have highlighted this October the 7th, it sticks in all of our minds, October the 7th, Hamas, Hamas, Hamas. I believe that when you go back and look at that, you're going to find out it was Israel, Israel, Israel that participated in that plot. It's too many things that does not add up. And then even before that, how were you supporting Hamas, your enemy? But it showed that, hey, you had a scheme giving them millions of dollars. That means the two of you, you know how they do, the Mutt and Jeff, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the good guy, bad guy, that they play on the public out here. The police do it all the time. One officer.
Well, let me
Let
me ask you one more comment, and especially since this atrocity with so-called Israel and the Gaza Strip is actually happening on sacred land that has been sacred for you know, years. I mean, we're talking 1400, you know, since the time of Jesus. I mean, Jesus was, you know, traveled those lands. Moses, on many of the prophets, you know, came from that part of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think about, you know, like that the law is allowing this to play out in that area?
Well, when I think, as you know, as they say, it's two sides to every story, and it's two ways to look at things. And I was telling some Muslims the other day, Allah will cause good to come out of that people meant for bad. And I've seen it over and over in my lifetime. We want to, because we know that Allah does not approve of bad. He destroyed people and all of that because of the wrong and the bad that they have done. So we know Allah, God, that our creator, created everything. And even according to, you know, all of the different scripture, it says that he created things and he looked at it as good. Well, others look at those created things that he did as bad. And so you get two different results when you look at them differently. It's a terrible thing, the wrong. Even you take America with the wrong that she did in enslaving a whole nation of people in this country. Then do we think Allah all of a sudden ought to just forgive and forget what America doing, even though he may bless the people that was enslaved under that wrongdoing? He may bless them to come out with a victory. Do we then justify that, like I do hear some African-Americans are trying to do, justify that experience of slavery, of all the bad killing and all of the stuff that we know that happened to us in slavery? Do we now say that was good for us? Thank you, God, that you allowed us to be raped and killed and all of that kind of stuff. No. But there are some of us who look at the other side and they only see that, hey, God is blessing us to come out victorious. And if it wasn't for that, them doing us so bad, we never would have had. What kind of insanity that is? And, you know, Imam Muhammad even addressed that with us when he said we did not have to go through the Nation of Islam to become the Muslims that we are today. So it's just how we look at these things, and some of us just to me, look at it very, very irrational, like this movie we're talking about, Clint. When you come out, it looks like he's making fun, but when you really look into it, see how much truth is in it. Just
yes.
like going to a comedian show. The comedian,
yes.
if he was just lying on the people on what he say, nobody never would laugh. But he's telling
right.
the truth. He just make it comical.
Well, Brother Henry Hasib, I thank you so very much for that commentary. And are you still on the radio on Thursday morning?
Yes. Inshallah, we were on this past Thursday. And we just had a reflection of our experience during Ramadan, but we'll start our regular programming this coming Thursday. And we're going to
okay.
start back with the theme, winning bad, so good flourishes. And then we will be talking to from the book of Napoleon Hill, Outwitting the Devil. To show those things that
yes,
maybe some people
yes,
may take
yes.
that as it's so outrageous, that just ain't believable. You know, we come up with different stuff, but show how those schemes are being acted out even today. Even what's going on right
so you
today.
Saying,
yes.
So you're saying that it's a we. So it's you and, I mean, you know, because you were on with what was the name of the person that you was on with? And,
Dr. Jamal,
and now you're on with a new person? Yes, and now you're
No. The we is us as a people, the spirit and all
okay.
that go with me. I have invited Mark Shaheed to work with me, but on some of these topics that we do, he's a very knowledgeable individual,
yes.
but we have not talked about a co-host again yet, so. But when you hear me talk about
okay.
we, it's just like we the people.
The community, right. The AM360 community.
Yeah,
yeah
community.
That's right. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to being with you, you know, and joining you on that day. I did get into that book by Napoleon Hill and the other books by Napoleon Hill, too, The Laws of Success and Think and Grow Rich. And I was, because I enjoyed those
oh,
two yeah. books so much, I definitely got, you know, I definitely bought that other book. I didn't finish it, but I did, you know, get to read some of it. So again, thank you so very much, Brother Henry Hasib,
right.
and we look forward to being with you. But, and so now here
yeah,
it is, you know, the time is flying. And I got this other telephone call. I'm going to try to bring it in and we'll see how long we're going to be able to. Hey, 314-550,
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Princess Kareem Aziz, host of Let's Talk About It, Keeping It Real. I want to say I'm enjoying the show. I really appreciate the information that you all are sharing. And the last caller, Brother Henry, spoke about mentioned the book Outwitting the Devil. And I just wanted to add
yeah.
a comment about that book. That book is such a powerful book, written in 1932, I want to say. And his wife said, "You cannot publish this book until after I pass." Well, he passed before her, and it was not published until she passed. It was a decision that they would not publish the book until she passed. Her son then said, or his wife said, "No, you're not passing. You're not. This book isn't going to be published until we pass." So the book didn't get published until I think 2001 or 2011. So mind you, it was written in 1932, and didn't get published until 2001 or 11. I can't remember that exact date. But that's just how powerful that book is. That they were frightened to have it published while they were alive. But it's a great
read. 2011. Mm-hmm.
2011, even yeah. So yeah, it's a great book, awesome read, very applicable to today. And let's get about Napoleon.
Sister, you have the book, or you have written you have read the book to some.
Actually, we studied.
The book?
We went on the show. We shared studying the book chapter for chapter. on the show Keeping It Real, but as that used to, at that time, aired on Thursdays on AM 360. We now air on Sunday, but we're on to talking about executive functioning, if you will. And interestingly enough, that led me.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah, then, you know, you'll join Brother Henry Hasid and others, and so that it'll be very interesting conversation.
Okay, yeah, I look forward to it.
Okay. Good
enough.
Brother Henry, thank you so very much for participating. And sister, thank you so very much, and looking forward to being with you all on Thursday. I must mention that tomorrow at 8 a.m. will be the Lives of the Prophets. We never finished. We did the whole Lives of the Prophets for a whole year, and we got to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and we didn't complete that. So we're going to complete Prophet Muhammad. You know, tomorrow we're going to we'll probably take another 2 weeks from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So we encourage you all to be with us tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on American Muslim 360. And I want to thank you all for participating with me. And we're going to go out with a PSA. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. And thank you for supporting the CWSC AM 360 annual Ramadan telethon, which helps us financially secure our...
Well, I was going to do a PSA, but my sister Martha Nala Williams raised her hand, so I had to give her that time. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Martha, your microphone is open.
Thank you. I just want to remind everyone, too, not to forget, and you may have done it, but I had to take a sidestep, everyone. Please forgive me. Martha Nala calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. With the partnership, do go at 10 o'clock to 515-605-9326. With our dear brother, Ibn Yaqub Islam. That's with William Kareem, I being the executive director of, producer of, A New Day Community
New
Radio.
New Day for Al-Islam? Community Radio.
Yes, New Day
and
for Al-Islam
Community
Radio.
We're going to
have
a special presentation. And it'll be a special presentation. So if you one that you don't want to miss, it's going to be with Imam W.D. Muhammad. So make sure to tune in. And so we'll now go out with that PSA. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Martha.
Alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.